Good morning, everyone. I'm going to read a bit and comment on our newest small book, Self and Samadhi. It's been our pattern for the every year for Gurudeva's Mahasamadhi observance to print a small book of his teachings. Well, this one is a bit deep, but there's something in it for everyone as well, not just the deepest teachings. Worship of Lord Ganesha sets the path of Dharma. Go to his feet. He alone can perform this miracle for you. He will release the mental and emotional obstructions to spiritual progress. He will remove the burdens of worldliness. To live the perfect life of the Grahastha Dharma or family life brings as its fulfillment the all-knowing bliss of Sat Chit Ananda, realizing ourself not as formless Parashiva, but as the pure consciousness that sustains and pervades all forms in the universe. Yes, there is a sense of urgency on the path of enlightenment, but only when we are unburdened of karma, only when we are walking the path of Dharma. Only then can true yoga be practiced and perfected. Gurudeva makes this point in a number of places in his teachings. The idea of worshiping Lord Ganesha helps us get settled in our dharma, get settled in our profession, choose a profession if we're young that's suitable to us. The relationship of fulfilling a profession and spiritual unfoldment isn't necessarily understood, because spiritual unfoldment is often thought of as requiring us to drop out of the world. Someone gets interested in moving ahead spiritually, and what do you have to do? You have to kind of just give everything up. That's the way you make spiritual progress. Well, most people aren't ready to do that, and if they gave everything up in a few years, they'd acquire it all back. Wouldn't quite work out. Well, there's another option. Instead of trying to give everything up, it's to figure out where you are in Dharma, where you are in your Swadharma, where you are professionally, what duties naturally come to you in life, and do them well. Well, that's the idea of worshiping Lord Ganesha helps us settle into that if we haven't already. It helps us settle into that, said in a way with an example. We want to challenge ourselves through our duties. If we were a doctor in our last life, there's no reason to be a laborer in this life. You know, and normally we move up in sophistication of our duties. We perform more and more complicated duties. Gurudeva, one of his definitions of moksha, he has a twofold definition and a threefold definition. The threefold definition is moksha, liberation from rebirth, is achieved, number one, when all dharmas have been lived through, number two, when all karmas are resolved, and number three, when God has been fully realized. A threefold explanation of what's required. So we're supposed to engage in life in a challenging way. It's part of the process, because in doing that, we develop certain qualities. We have to develop better self-control, better control of our emotions, better control over facing difficulties without feeling overwhelmed, better control over not tangling with other individuals. All of that comes about by putting ourselves into our duties fully. All Hindus, without exception, believe in reincarnation. In each birth, we must fulfill more goals leading to the one ultimate goal, which after many births well-lived will loom before us as the only goal worthy of striving for in this lifetime. All other desires, all other aims and ambitions pale under the brilliance of even the thought of realization of Satchidananda and Parashiva. This is pointing out it's a natural process. The toys, we have young Aaron here. How old's Aaron? 4 and a half, okay. And he loves trucks. He can't go anywhere. How many trucks did he bring? Three or four? Okay. Well, he can't travel without three or four trucks. It just wouldn't work. And then he plays on the iPad, and what game does he play? Identifying trucks. But when he's age 16, is he going to be still so fascinated about trucks that he has to bring three or four on a trip to Hawaii? No, of course not. So we go through natural interests as we grow up in one life. When we're young, we play with trucks. And teenager, we do something else. In our 20s, we do something else. 30s, 40s, 50s. Naturally, our interests or our desires change, as this is pointing out. But they also change from life to life in the same way that they change within one life. So Gurudev is saying, eventually, the goal of realizing God within us will become really important. And we have no choice but to focus on that. In fulfillment of our duties to parents, relations, and the community at large, become a good householder. Be a good citizen. Live a rewarding physical, emotional, and intellectual existence. These are the natural goals of many. Once this is accomplished in a lifetime, it is easy in future lives to perpetuate this pattern and evolve toward more refined and more difficult goals, such as gaining a clear intellectual knowledge of the truths of the Agamas and Vedas, most especially the Upanishads, and establishing a personal contact with Lord Shiva within his great temples through the fervor of worship. To take the point that's most related to what we were talking about, once this is accomplished in a lifetime, it is easy in future lives to perpetuate this pattern of duties to parents, relations, and community. Well, that's the ideal of Hindu culture, is fulfilling duty, but of course in a joyous way. We try not to feel burdened by our duties. We try and find a way that we can feel uplifted, feel fulfilled and joyous in fulfilling our duties. But understanding what our duties are, which include duties to community, as Gurudev says, and sometimes that's not emphasized enough. The example that's in one of my talks is a young man, he was in his late 20s, I think, single, been trained in yoga, meditation, and was teaching it at the temple in Illinois. With it, Champaign. No, the other one. It's near Champaign. The other one near Champaign, Illinois. And he was reading a bit in Living with Shiva and came across the statement, we have to fulfill our duty to our community. And he wrote me and said, what's this mean? He didn't know what it meant. There he is, you know, bright young man teaching yoga at the temple, and he'd never learned that he had a duty to the community. So I explained it in a simple way. I said, community, meaning the people that surround us wherever we live, regardless of their religion or their ethnicity, are part, like a distant relative, they're because we share the same community. And as such, we need to help them out on occasion. We need to be thoughtful about what their needs are. And that for a temple, it's good to do something once a year, I thought. It's a nice pattern. Temples, particularly involving the teenagers, have a program once a year where they outreach to the community and help with the food bank or a clothing drive, some simple project that benefits all members of the community. And then you've done a part of helping the community. So Gurudeva liked to emphasize the Upanishads. Gaining clear intellectual knowledge of the truths of the Agamas and Vedas, most especially the Upanishads. I have an Upanishad quote. Fits right into Gurudeva's teachings. There is a spirit which is pure and which is beyond old age and death, and beyond hunger and thirst and sorrow. This is Atman, the spirit in man. What you see when you look into another person's eyes, that is the Atman, mortal, beyond fear. That is God. Very direct. Upanishads like to be direct. So have a wonderful day.